about one Leela of Krishna, where Krishna returns to Vrindavan. And this is in our Vaishnava literature quite symbolic to Krishna coming into the life of the devotees. Oh, here's our talented. Please tell me your good name again. Purushartha Prabhu. And you brought your one of your best friends with you.
The base friends.
No, it is in Vaishnava theology, this would be called the instrument of your service. And when you are given samadhi, the base will be placed on your chest. It's like that. Because it is sacred due to your worship of Krishna Vivid. I joked the other day, when Manoram is put into samadhi, they will have to put a bus on his chest. Hare Krishna. Good, so let us just start. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana pallava girivara hari. Gopi jana pallava girivara hari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanasari. Yamuna Tira Vanasari. Vidya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Vidya See that the few Brajbasis who have followed them stopped following them. This made Krishna blossom with joy. Finally, he was released from the chain of the Brajbasis glances. So Krishna jumped forward into the forest like a young elephant. The cowherd boys were also in a jolly mood. They were dancing, they were seen singing, laughing, leaping, feeling ecstatic, and they stumbled over each other. They were joking and they were playing with each other. They imitated Krishna's activities, like how he peacefully stands in front of his mother, but at the same time restlessly looks at the girls, and how his voice can falter. Some of the boys went between the trees and vines, imitating the restless glances and the slight smiles of the gopis through their open veils. Other boys, which seemed to be as gymnastic as Amala Harinam, walked on their hands and imitated the cows, rolling on the ground with bent neck and raised ears. I know that Madhava always brings the people of Braj, especially the boys, in the greatest delight when he just somehow moves his ears from one side of the ear pit to another. Yes, he's an acrobat with the ears. So the cows were also doing this, raising the ears. Some of the boys refuted the meaning of Krishna's words, like learned debaters. Others were fighting with each other, with sticks or with their arms. Some were throwing items of the forest, like bear fruits, at each other. Catch this one. And others showed their skills in balancing on a stick, while some were dancing, laughing, or pleasing Krishna with some other service. So we can see from this scene, it's quite a joyful atmosphere. Krishna feels released. Why? Because he sometimes feels his mother is a little bit too much mother. She tells him, "You don't know your limit, Gopal." Or she cautions him, or she just pricks him in the side and says, "You're eating too little, Gopal." So in this way. But the village of Vrindavan has a very sad atmosphere. So sad because Krishna has left them. Now everything changes in the afternoon. It's just before the sun sets down where the sadness of the Brajbasis turns into a joyful anticipation. Everyone looks in one direction and their eyes are not even diverted for half a moment to look at another direction. Can you imagine what the direction is? It's the direction, I think I heard it whispering. Yes, through which Krishna had left the village in the morning. It's the the eastern gate. So they look through this gate and they wait for Krishna to return through the same gate. And all of a sudden, everything starts to move. The branches of the trees, the birds, the insects. Everyone comes to that gate and stares down the forested road in the direction from where Krishna left in the morning. All of a sudden, something else happens. The crowd of Vrindavan becomes agitated. They have spotted down there, there's not only forest, there's a white, white grassland. They had spotted the dust was rising in the air. And they had heard the sound of the flute. Krishna comes a little later. What it was the wind which had blown into the reeds of the bamboo and made the sound which sounded exactly like Krishna's flute. You couldn't make out the difference. And the cloud of dust which was raising was also not the cloud of the dust from Krishna's cows. The same wind, this great deceiver who had audaciously imitated Krishna, had also risen dust from the plains. So when the Brijbasi saw, oh no, the flute was not Krishna's flute, oh no, the dust was not the dust of the returning cows, they again became sad. Meanwhile, Krishna, who was still some distance away from Braj village, looked at his cows. The cows are so content, my dear devotees. They have robust bodies, fat udders, because they have eaten this healthy grass, and they looked very fattish because of the association with Krishna. When you are happy, you become a little chubby. So the cows were like this. Why were the cows so happy in Krishna's association? Because, my dear devotees, Krishna loves the Vrindavan cows, especially them. It is described by Jiva Goswami that when Krishna was away from the cows in Dwaraka, he would constantly think of the cows. And when finally, at the end of his pastimes, when he had done with Dantavakra, before the gates of Mathura, he went and crossed the Yamuna and blew his conch shell. And something happened which is very remarkable. Nanda Maharaj and all the Brijbasis had heard the sound of the conch shell, and they rose like dead people arisen from swoon and moved towards the sound of the conch shell. And with them came all the cows. So when Krishna saw the cows coming, he bowed down before his cows. Imagine, the Supreme Lord pays his obeisances to the cows. And he took the dust of Vrindavan, which was imprinted with the hoof prints on his forehead, and rubbed it there in love. And then he ran to his cows and he embraced them and he scratched their legs, but mostly their necks, I wanted to say. It was a reunion, Krishna and his cows. The Vrijbasis who saw this began to cry, and their tears sprinkled the trees and the creepers who had dried out in separation from Krishna. These tears, although they were salty tears, and trees and creepers prosper in sweet water, not salt water, but because they were ecstatic tears of joy, all the, what is it called, fauna of Vrindavan exploded in happiness. Seeing Krishna being watered by the tears of Krishna's devotees. So Krishna at one stage announces, "Hey boys, it's time to go. People of our village wait for us. Please take your flute and your horns and let us call the cows." So the cowherd boys began to call the cows. "I see that some of you are depressed like me because of the heat. There is a very powerful antidote against depression. Would you like to know it? You call out the names of Krishna's cows." This is the Ayurvedic Vraj treatment. "So you kindly take part in this. Now I will call out the name which Krishna the cowherd boys called to the cows, and you please take this medicine. Shavali.
Shavali.
Pishangi.
Pishangi.
Dumila.
Dumila.
Shushila.
Shushila.
Shashimukhi.
Shashimukhi.
Mridangamukhi.
Mridangamukhi.
Come here.
Come here.
You are developing the ways. It's called the Braj Mahani, the way of life in Braj. So when Krishna and Balaram had assembled all the cows around them, it looked as if there were two captains, one black, one white, steering a huge ocean liner or ship. What would be the white ship? Yes, the herd of cows. And on it were a captain. Who could be the black captain? You know everything. And now the white captain? Balaram, very good. In case you were not present-minded, please be now. So, Krishna and Balaram steered the cows like two expert ships steer, and ship captains steer a ship. Mother Earth at that stage transformed her body into a soft powder and waited for the cow hooves to come and raise her. Can you imagine why Mother Earth changes into a soft powder and waits to be raised? Because Mother Earth wants to fly up and then come down and embrace Krishna and Balaram with her scent. Normally, the earth is screaming when it is heard by people who are not regarding her. Mother Earth was in such a shock when there are demons trembling over her, or even worse, the demons in their armies. Mother Bhumi is very sad when she reads the newspaper of modern Kali Yuga and hears about the wars and the warlords trembling over her service and creating pain to her creatures. However, when the millions of cows opened her, she became very happy because she could rise in the sky and embrace Krishna Balaram. And what is with the wounds? Well, the moment Krishna touched with his lotus feet, the wounds or impressions of the cow hooves, they smoothened out. And listen to this, when Krishna would walk, lotus flowers, land lotuses, would rise in his footprints. So Mother Earth was very happy about the chance to embrace Krishna and be touched by his lotus feet. Then Krishna played his flute. Not the wind, but Krishna. Because he played a raga that would give life to the bridge bhasis. A very joyful raga. First the bridge bhasis saw this dust cloud. Then they noticed how devatas were coming and diving into this ocean of dust in order to sprinkle themselves with the dust that was raised by Krishna's cows and had been touched by his lotus feet. And then, my dear devotees, out of the dust cloud came the sound which we have heard from Krishna's flute, and all of a sudden a good wind came, took away the dust cloud, and the shining of Krishna's body, which is like a beautiful, help me, is it a sapphire or emerald? What is blue? Sapphire, thank you. It washed from the distance over the lands. Was this a wave of bluish sapphire light? The emanation from Krishna's beautiful body. And the Brijbasi saw Krishna. He looked like a bee that was covered with pollen because of the dust. He had beautiful dark hair that came out underneath his white turban. There was a little string on the turban of pearls which was dancing because Krishna was playfully, I think you call it skipping, no? there was a special Vaijajanti garland. This garland was very special because it was an old garland. All the while, when Krishna was walking through the forest of Vrindavan, there was one servant boy who had a little tablet with the second garland, a Vaijajanti garland, and he wetted the nice cloth so that the garland would be fresh. So now when Krishna was coming to the back to the village, he wanted to exchange the dusty garland with this fresh garland. But Krishna said, no. Why did he not want the new garland? Why did he keep on wearing the old garland? And the dust of cows is on there. Very good analysis. This garland, the old garland, was also special in a second way, because Srimati Radharani had made it, and it carried the fragrance of the palms of her hand. Yes. So when Krishna came closer, he started to joke with his cowherd boys. And then all of a sudden, from his chest, another shine emanated. It is the shine from the Kostuba jewel. It's a little jewel, it's reddish, it looks like a calf. And when Krishna is full of joy and love, this jewel shines more. So Krishna is coming back and the jewel is shining more. My dear devotees, I think we should all sit for a moment looking at Krishna and Balaram. And as we look at this, remember a little of this homecoming of Krishna and Balaram, we can sit a little in silence and pray or think about how nice it would be if Krishna and Balaram would also come from the far distant forest of Vrindavan and approach us and come into our lives. Please sit and breathe nicely. You've heard how all the Brijbasis were standing at the town's gate, waiting for Krishna to return. You heard about the anticipation in their heart, the longing. You heard how they were awakened from a death-like slumber in Krishna's absence. And now you heard how Krishna had played on his flute to awaken them from that slumber, and how he had come skipping into the vision of his Vrindavan devotees while he played joyfully his flute. It is described by Bilva Mangala Thakur that when Krishna plays his flute, he sometimes dances and he bends over and looks at his own feet, which perform dancing movements. So let us sit a little in silence and think about this. Every day Krishna returns from the forest of Vrindavan. Every day the devatas are standing left and right from the path to listen to Krishna's flute music, which is so superior to any music which they have heard on their heavenly planets. every day Krishna looks at them and gives them his blessings. And wherever Krishna looks, the creepers on the trees wind up, start to blossom. The Brajavasis look at them, Abram. They can't blink even with their eyes. And when they see the cloud of dust raised by the cows, they see it like white camphor that is a medicine that cools their burning eyes that are pained by the pangs of separation. Every day Krishna returns, and every day the wind carries the sweet fragrance of Krishna. Every day they hear the sound of Krishna's flute in connection with the mooing of the cows. And every day, as if it is the first time, the Brajvasis question themselves, is this flute flowing over with poison or with nectar? We don't know. Poison because they forget everything else, and nectar because they can forget everything else. Is this flute sound harder than a thunderbolt? Or is it softer even than the petals of a lotus flowers? I do not know. Is this sound hotter than fire? Or cooler than the moon? We don't know. All we know is we love Krishna so much. Some faint. Some have so much tears in their eyes when they see Krishna that the tears cover their vision. Some of them are motionless. The gopis, when they look with their eyes, it seems to them that their eyes are breaking the fast. When a hungry person finally gets some good porridge or some delicious meal, he feels nourished and strengthened. So the gopis feel very much nourished and strengthened. And some small boys run out to Krishna to greet him, but because they cannot speak, they only say, "Lala, Lala." Now, amongst all these Brajavasis, there was one boy for whom this was not an everyday affair. He saw Krishna's homecoming for the very first time in his life. This devotee had looked at everything. He had seen how all of a sudden there was a commotion in the village of Vrindavan, and the Brajavasis ran to the gate. I said the eastern gate is actually the western gate, you know, where the sun sets, because Krishna comes with the sunset. So this boy had gone with the Brajavasis to the western gate. And he had seen how all of a sudden this commotion indicated that something was going to happen. Then this boy had seen how the Jamuna stopped flowing, zip, and flowed in the reverse order or backwards. When Krishna saw this one particular boy, Krishna stopped playing his flute on that one day. he left quickly all his friends and all his cows, and he ran and ran faster, and there were horripilations on his transcendental body. He was clearly agitated with some deep emotion. And when he finally reached that one boy who had also started to run towards him, he embraced that one boy, and overwhelmed with emotions, Krishna fainted in his arms. The friends were immediately surrounding Krishna, who was lying on the ground. They suspected the new boy to be a demon in disguise, like it had happened, or at least the rumors reported that such things had happened. The girls screamed, of course. The entire village was concerned, and the boy became confused. He thought in his mind, so many lifetimes have passed where I yearn to see Krishna. Now I see Krishna and I send him in a swoon. I seem to not please him. Balaram was the only one who kept his calm. This is a good... Balaram kept his calm. This is Balaram. And he took the hand of the boy and in a very tender movement put the hand of the boy on Krishna's chest where the heart was. And then he said to the boy, it's all right, just call him by his name. So this one boy had bent over and had said, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna,
Gopal, Gopal,
Gopal,
Damoda, Shyam Sundar,
Murali Varan,
Bongsi Bihari.
Bihari.
He knew many names. And slowly Krishna came out of his swoon. And the first thing when Krishna woke up was he took the hand of the boy in his hand and said, how are you? Now this may seem to you like an ordinary American greeting, how you doing, but it's something else. This is different when we listen to Krishna's other words. He said, welcome, welcome, swagatam, swagatam, my dear boy, I am fortunate, actually I'm most fortunate to meet you here. For so long, I had been eager to see you. So note, the Lord was extremely jubilant. That's why he says two times, swagatam, welcome, welcome. And this, by good fortune, I have met you. I was waiting for so long. My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all. Oh, now we hear something special in Krishna's words. He sees the boy as a prototype boy, representing all of us. All this waiting, the Lord said, for so many, many long time, has increased my eagerness unlimitedly. For so long, I was very hopeful that you would come. And like a fool, I was dancing before my village, thinking perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or if not this, then this, or if not this, then this, he will finally turn his fate towards me. So the Lord wanted Gopakumar to know, you had really forgotten me for very, very long time. then he said, I was hoping to have your association. Finally, I became intolerant. But then I could not find any pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, because I must follow the timeless law that I myself have created. What the Lord expressed here is, he needs a reason to bring a conditioned soul to him. In Ajamil's case, Ajamil had chanted a shadow of the name. He had not turned to Krishna, he meant to call his son really, but he called out Narayan, and the Lord took this as a pretext. Oh, he's called me. It is not really him who was called, but under a pretext, he could finally overcome his impatience. But you, do you remember the name of the boy? Gopakumar, yes, yes. You have not chanted once. You have not sat in the Alachua temple on Saturday night, battled against the heat, and chanted, no. So I had no, I couldn't break my laws. What are these timeless laws? The Lord will not force anyone. He will not force himself upon us. You showed me no mercy. And as I have considered this, I grew impatient. Oh, yes, full of anxiety to receive your favor. But now, my dear boy, I tell you what secret I did, secret trick. I let you take birth in the divine district of Govardhan, my beloved abode. And then I myself became your guru, Jayanta. My dear devotees, this shows us anyone who has the slightest contact with Govardhan, like coming to the town or just saying, Govardhan.
Govardhan!
A very nice result is waiting. But to speak of those who circumambulate Giriraj, and what to speak of those who go even to a further extent to make an obeisance to Govardhan. What to speak of those who make 1,000 and plus and more obeisances by circumambulating him. When the Lord sees that someone comes to Giriraj, his greatest of devotees, then he will soon show his complete mercy to such a soul by manifesting in their hearts. And then when the devotee has bhakti in the heart, he is soon able to give up all his or her material attachments. So the Lord ends, today you have at last fulfilled the desire which I kept so long in my heart. Please nourish your happiness and mind by staying here forever. So Gopakumar might say, you did so much for me, but I did not do anything for you at all. I even did not look in your direction. But the Lord feels differently. He says to Gopakumar, what good have I ever done for you? But you have done me the greatest favor by coming here. Please stay with me forever. Where else, my dear devotees, can we find such love? We want to inspire you.
please make a plan when you can run to Govardhan. Stay there, offer prayers, sit for some time, offer japa. Be there, don't go, don't look at your mobile telephone too soon. Just be at Giriraj, lotus feet, pray. Oh Giriraj, you are the Lord's servant, look in my direction. I'm suffering, I'm weak-hearted, I cannot free myself alone from my material attachments that pull me back, although I don't want it, they are there. Please, my dear Giriraj, give me taste, give me love, give me bhakti, so that I can move unimpeded forward in a straightforward way. So the Lord says, oh Krishna, Krishna, I am so grateful that you came. Stay here. Don't go anywhere. It is here where you can be free from anxiety. It is here where you can rest your wearied soul. This, my dear devotees, is also the invitation of the Lord when we join his kirtan. The kirtan of the holy name. The glorification of Krishna. Talking about Krishna in the assembly of good-hearted, simple Vaishnavas. We'll call Krishna and we feel great satisfaction. It seems that the Lord calls to us, don't leave this assembly so soon, stay for some more. Give up your worries and anxieties and your over busyness. Just stay in the kirtan and soothe your wearied soul. In the spiritual world, every step is a dance. You dance when you like something, no? When you hear some good news, maybe a young devotee hears, oh, the time of my initiation is just around the corner. He or she will dance. Or when you hear a rare guest is coming to my apartment and eating something, you feel my feet cannot really stay stagnant any longer. Krishna consciousness should make us dance, my dear devotees. And as we dance in the kirtan, sing and clap our hands, the anxieties fall away from us. Jump more, dance more in the kirtan, and your anxiety will crash to the ground and melt away. Act of devotion, you know better than me, says when someone claps their hands in the kirtan, the ravens of sin, the crows of sin leave his heart. Krishna was so joyful to finally see Gopkumar because he cares. Once two devotees were talking about Krishna. Like we talk gossip, they talk in the spiritual world about Krishna. Why do you like Krishna so much? Well, said one devotee, he likes every small bit of seva and thinks, how can I reward my devotee? And the other reason is, see, I'm bad and I sometimes make offenses. But Krishna overlooks the most intolerable offenses. And when he sees his devotee suffers, he feels great sadness in the heart. It is not necessary that my devotees should suffer. My dear devotees, I think first of all, the excellent musical accompaniment, how tasteful, how knowingly you were doing all the various moods with your electric instruments, you know, electric in the sense it created a mood, just like when you touch a live fire, a certain mood of surprise is created. Maybe that's not the best example. The better analogies, I'm sorry. This was not very good. We have to find something better. But my dear devotees, I want to tell you the Bhurijam Prabhu and myself and a few other devotees from the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, we saw something in our movement. No one talks about Krishna so much. Sometimes we hear a little bit in the Bhagavatam class, maybe about Krishna, what he likes, how he feels, how he dresses, how he dances, what type of flowers he likes to wear over his ear. You know, there's a wealth of information so that we can absorb our mind in Krishna. But because we are very much engaged with our own, in our little world, we find sometimes Krishna Katha boring. With the relationship to my life, please. We feel like this. But if you train to hear about Krishna personally, if you hear it a few times, then one information you hear, then you will see in your mind's eye five other informations you hear. And as you listen to Krishna Katha more and more, the spiritual world will become something like a stand-up book. Do you know what is a stand-up book? In Germany, at least, all the little boys get them. Do you open them, like this, and then, a castle with real knights comes up from the book. It's somehow folded within. And then you unfold the book, or outfold the book, or whatever is the English word, then it appears before your eyes. So with a little patient effort, listening to Krishna Katha, giving as much attention as you can at the present moment, you will find out that Krishna and his world unfolds before you like that stand-up book. And you feel very, very happy, so that one day you will be always in Krishna's world. And whatever happens to you in this world, you will relate it to Krishna's world. Like, you know, once Gorkhashodas Babaji went begging in Navadvip, and somehow some noisy, gruffy boys were teasing him by throwing stones at him. So Gorkhashoda said, Mother Yashoda, hey Krishna, stop. When you continue throwing stones at me, I will complain with Mother Yashoda, and then you will get a hard time from your mother. One who sees me everywhere and everything in me, says Krishna, is never lost to me. Actually, when you see Krishna behind the things that happen in your life, the Krishna might send you a signal here. The Krishna might allure you here. Come, move forward in this direction. You know what happens? You lose your anxiety. This world is a terrible place. You may say a wrong word and people misunderstand you and dislike you, and you didn't mean it. Oh, you mean you go on the autobahn, and then Billy the Ruthless drives into your car, and then you have to call Dan the expert lawyer to deal with Billy the Ruthless, and everything gets complicated and painful for your purse. You know, from one moment to the next, misery can strike in this material world. Or like me, I came to eat ahimsa cheese in Alachua, and there were tons of ahimsa cheese, but then I get an attack of the cruel ACs and lose the voice and cannot eat ahimsa cheese because it is bad for the health and so on. Everything, always something happens. But when you can surrender to Krishna, see, oh Krishna, you are with me. I am yours and you are mine. And whatever you give me, I will take my lesson. I will learn. I will see that you are ultimately behind everything. You become joyful like a little child. I would like to end with a Braj adventure or Braj experience, which I thought next time I come to Alachua, I will tell it. Since we go every year to Braj, we have made many friends with the local people. They're very kind, and I used to be known when I was young as the bicycle sadhu in Vrindavan because I would go everywhere. But now I don't have so much passion in my bones to go, and I go and also to play where I'm not recognized or seen to have my peace. One day I needed to take a car, so I called my friend, and he had one of these cars which where you think it won't make another 10 meters, it's so old and cranky. So we went, and we were a little late, we needed to be someplace, and the sunset was falling, and of course he had only half a, how is it called, headlight. You know, usually you have two full headlights, but one of the headlights was broken, no problem, and the other was only half functioning and was going on and off. No problem in Braj, it adds to the good atmosphere. Good. So we were going, and all of a sudden he shouts out, "Radhe!" and slams his brake, and I'm almost going through the window screen because security belt is not in Braj. Only when the police is nearby, you pull it on. And he comes to a screeching halt, a slingering halt. And there are three boys who play in the middle of the road. They have their arms like this and they put Bisleri water in it, you know, flat, you know, one Bisleri. It's not filled with Bisleri water, that's too expensive. It's filled with normal water, but they're Bisleri water bottles.
So they somehow pile it on, and they shout Giri Raj, because they feel that the one boy is not Krishna, who lives Giri Raj, the form of, or something. So they play like this, forgetful of everything else. And my driver G, my friend, starts to laugh and laugh and laugh, and calls Bacha, Bacha, Bacha. Bacha means children, little children. Then he turns to me. They have no worries. Chintyane, he makes like this. Chintyane, they have no worries, because they know their father, Peter, is there. And he'll, if there's a problem, like a car with only half an eye, you know, half a headlight, father will take care. They have no worries, knowing that the Lord, that the Father is there. And then he says, you, Shochinandan Swami, Nechintyan, you should also have no worries. No, because Krishna is there, guarding every step. This is the mood of Vrindavan. Krishna is there. Krishna loves the devotee. Krishna wants the devotee. Krishna cares for the devotees. And believe it or not, Krishna makes all the time arrangements for his devotees. They may have to look only two times, not just one time. So thank you very much. This was what I brought for you. I hope it inspired you. I was trembling with excitement. Our Bali was there, and our, don't tell the name, Krishna Kishore Murali Vadan Das. Mulidhari. Krishna Kishore Mulidhari Prabhu. Thank you very much. Oh, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please hear more about Krishna. It will give your heart so much solace. So now I'm very, very happy to invite our Madhava to sing with all of us.